Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, great to have you with us as we roll through this afternoon together. Today's show being brought to you by our good friend Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call, 800-609-9484, or you can go online to rewfinancial.com. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and we're joined by Audrey Snyder of the Patriot News. Audrey, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
First of all, I started out this with Corey, and I'll do the same thing with you. When something happens, people sit there and go, uh-oh, you know, what's going to happen? There's chaos, there's uncertainty. Then the second that someone is named, it just settles down and there's a calm. Is that how you saw it play out?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, there was definitely, you know, the uncertainty period where everybody's wondering, speculating who the coach is going to be, because until they got James Franklin in place, you really didn't know what was going to happen with this recruiting class. And so once you have the head guy in place, you can kind of figure out, the other kids can start to meet him, see how they fit into the picture. And now it's just waiting for all these assistant coaches to be official, and then you can kind of go from there, and everybody can settle in, and the current players, of course, can get rolling with the winter conditioning program, which I believe officially kicked off today.
Yeah, it's kicked into high gear, no question about that. I think one thing all of us knew ahead of time was that no matter what, he would win the press conference. When you sat there and watched how he went through question by question, what were your thoughts?
Yes, you know, everything I had been told about James Franklin leading into that press conference was expect someone who has a lot of energy, who is really going to come into a press conference and just dominate it, and that's what he did. He took over the press conference and really was trying to just share his message. I had to kind of laugh. He wasn't even asked about his recruiting philosophy just yet at this point in the press conference, but jumped into it voluntarily. Of course, and that's when he went on to his whole rant about dominating the state. And you could just tell by listening to the guy that he was really trying to sell people on him and on this program. And likewise, I think he said all of the right things that this fan base wanted to hear, as far as mentioning Joe Paterno, mentioning uniting the former players, uniting this community, that this was his dream job, that he wants to be here long term. Now, how truthful any of that is, we'll have to see, you know, in the coming weeks and months and years as it plays out. But for the time being, he totally owned that press conference.
Yeah, he certainly did. And obviously he's drawn the trust of his players initially as well. You and I know, I think everybody knows, that especially the juniors, the redshirt sophomores, the seniors, they've seen it and been through it all. They saw it from 2.5 years ago. They then saw the head coach that recruited them die. A new head coach comes in. They see the sanctions. They eventually, you know, they have success. They also see no bowl game. They see that coach leave. They see a new coach comes in. They define resiliency. The ones you've been had a chance to talk to or listen to, Audrey, what's the impression you've been getting from them about all of this?
Yeah, I mean, the impression from a lot of these kids I had a chance to talk to the last couple days is that there's a sense of, hey, we've been through this before, and it worked out all right. For some of these kids, this is technically their fifth head coach, which at Penn State, that's just a number that really blows your mind when you think about it, if you count the interim guys. So for a lot of these kids, during the break, they were communicating with one another, sending mass text messages, picking up the phone, calling each other, hey, are you okay? You know, keep your head, keep calm. We're going to move through it. A lot of the former players who had graduated reached back to these guys, guys like Stephen Openg-Ajapong and Malcolm Willis, said to these former players, hey, we were through this before, we were okay, you guys are going to be just fine. So the players really weren't panicking as much maybe as the fan base was. But the players right now, it's, hey, we're glad we're back on campus, we're together, we're in the weight program. They're, at least things are getting back to normal for them. And after what they've been through in the past, this was probably an easier transition because there wasn't, it wasn't as difficult as it was before. These kids all said, hey, you know, maybe some of them were a little upset at Bill O'Brien initially, but they understood it. They weren't totally blindsided by his desire to go to the NFL. Majority of them said, yeah, we wished him luck, and likewise with Larry Johnson. They understood what was happening here and really have responded quite well to it thus far.
Different, though, than parts, and I don't want to indict all, but I mean, that's different than the reaction of some of the fan base.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think one of the interesting things, if you hop on Twitter and see some of the responses with Larry Johnson as far as coming from the fans, and I get it. You know, he's going to Ohio State. He's a tremendous recruiter, so fans are going to be worried about that. And, of course, his long-term ties to Penn State. But the thing that really impressed me, I was talking with C.J. Olanian yesterday at the availability in the Lash football building, and CJ said, yeah, you know, I wished Larry well, even if he's on the other sidelines. You know, I still want the guy to do well because the kids have so much respect for Larry Johnson. And for all the players, the defensive linemen who've really excelled under him, most of them understand that and understand that a guy of Larry's caliber is going to land on his feet pretty, you know, pretty well. And it just so happened that that place is at Ohio State.
Right. That's where it turns out to be for him. And with Urban Meyer, a lot of people have been concerned about the recruiting part of it. And as I always tell people, I said, look, they're not. It's not 1970. They're not allowed to sign 100. Okay? You're allowed to sign 25. You're allowed to sign 25, so forth. It just depends on which 25 you get and how healthy they stay in a lot of ways. So now moving forward with this, what are some of the intriguing storylines between now and the blue-white game that you might think of exploring?
Man, between now and blue-white, it feels like we have forever, but considering Bill O'Brien left, what was it, not even 3 weeks ago, that feels like it was several months ago. But, I mean, right now the biggest thing is the push to signing day and what happens with this class. So for the next month, next 3 weeks really, that's what I'll be putting a lot of time and focus into. From there, I think another thing you have to keep an eye on is quarterback Christian Hackenberg, of course, how he's going to continue to develop. He's going to have a new playbook. The kids haven't had a chance to get the playbook yet from James Franklin, so they're anxious to get that. He's going to have, you know, a new quarterback's coach, new offensive coordinator. What's their plan for him? How does James Franklin plan to tailor this offense to its best assets? And likewise, you know, defensively, it's a lot of the same things we saw last year. How will these kids continue to grow? Which young defensive linemen are going to step up? What do they have with the linebackers? You know, the secondary, a lot of these guys have another year under their belt. How do they adjust? And the whole special teams unit kind of needs an overhaul from last year. So really, yes. I mean, you're going to be looking at every angle of this thing leading up until the spring game. But right now, the big thing is, these kids are on board that are here. They're buying into James Franklin and what he told him in that first team meeting on Sunday. And from there, it's, hey, get into the winter program, see if you can improve your strength, improve your endurance, and then get ready for phase two, which is spring ball.
Yeah, and he'll probably only have maybe 50 to 55 scholarship players in spring ball, to be honest with you, which is going to be different for him. In that vein, and if this is only a sense, because obviously we won't know until we watch it play out, but are you sensing that now finally there's a turn of the corner and a few steps toward normalcy?
Oh, absolutely. Just talking to these kids, they were really just thrilled to be able to be back on campus, because when everything happened with Bill O'Brien's departure, they were scattered all throughout the country for winter break. So now that they're back on campus, they're back in the class routine, winter workouts officially started today, so so they have that structure back in their lives that they get so used to it, and the fact that they're all together, really, you know, the kids yesterday, Christian Hackenberg said he just couldn't wait to get going with this thing, get started. These kids all need to meet their assistant coaches, which right now a lot of them are out on the road recruiting, so you still need to meet the assistants. Fortunately, the strength and conditioning program that they're implementing here is going to be very similar to what Craig Fitzgerald was running. So the kids said, hey, we're pretty good in that regard. We don't have any major changes there, which that was one of the biggest things when Bill O'Brien got here. They had to revamp the whole weight room. The kids had to adjust to the new program. So at least that is going to pretty much stay the same. So they can kind of get along with the winter right now pretty well.
Yeah, Dwight Gault is, Fitzy will freely tell you that Dwight Gault's his mentor. And it turns out that Dwight Gault, the fourth who had been here, is coming back. So, I mean, that's why it's going to stay relatively the same in that regard. So, I mean, that's, you know, and they need at least that part of it, which stays the same. Then, of course, the spring ball coming up, that'll be interesting. He also brought up something that goes back, and Dave Joyner said something during the press conference, but it goes back to something you have done extensive research on. He said, look, there's going to be 107,000 people in the stadium. You've done a lot of research on this. Obviously, that's a great goal because anybody wants to sell out, but that's a big sellout number. So in your research, what's it going to take to get to that goal?
Well, it's going to be very difficult. I'm not quite sure James Franklin knew exactly what he was getting himself into when he said 107,000 off the bat. But I think Penn State's already made one smart move in the fact that they're going to variable ticket pricing for the single game sales next year. So what that means is you're not going to be paying the same face value for every single ticket, which makes sense because fans shouldn't be paying, you know, as much money for a marquee whiteout game as they are against a non-conference game with a subpar opponent. And so I think that's a smart move for your single game sales, which will really help you because that's one area where they were hurting last year. Your student sales will continue to do well because that's just how it is around here. The students will continue to sell out. And the STEP program, there are no plans to revamp it. So you need to get out there and continue talking to all these season ticket holders, and maybe some of these ticket holders will be more intrigued with a new coach, and that's not to say that they weren't with Bill O'Brien, but for the first year there might be some additional interest, people especially in single game sales, oh hey, maybe we want to check out this James Franklin guy and see what he's doing. So that all factors into it, but so does the schedule, and I want to say Penn State hosts Temple in like the middle of November next year.
They do.
Is not, won't really help you out at that point. But it all factors in. So that's one of James Franklin's goals, and I'll be continue to closely monitor that.
Well, but there's something else to that, too. I think something that's going to help them down the road is that going to the 9 conference games. I think that's going to help them down the road because then it cuts down that non-conference part that you're talking about because everyone knows the fourth weekend of the season, for the most part in college football, is, I mean, it's hard for a network to sit there and pick a game.
Oh, yes. It's certainly, I mean, all around the country it's something that they struggle with. And with this year with Penn State opening up in Ireland, you know, that's going to be different for a lot of us, too. Obviously, last year was in East Rutherford, New Jersey at MetLife, but people are used to seeing this team at home in September, and I'm sure the Penn State fans are going to show up to the Croke Park Classic in full force. I would anticipate that. But it is kind of weird that they're opening up, you know, far away, and I guess the game in State College will probably air around 9 a.m. or so. So that'll be a little different. 8:30.
Yeah, 8:30 in the morning, yeah. There's one other part, too, that's interesting in this, and I know in your research, I'm sure you've run into this. The people that go to the game, park, party before the game, and then leave.
Right.
And that's something I know that's kind of taken, I think some people here have been taken aback by that and didn't realize it was happening.
Right, and I think one of the other things is when you look at this town, and I'm fairly certain it's like this with any big program, if you're trying to afford a weekend in state college, it's really difficult. You're adding in hotel prices, which the majority of, if not all of them, require a two-night minimum. And for a marquee game, those prices go up. You're talking
yes.
food, you're talking parking. Your tickets, which don't come cheap, maybe a non-conference game this year will make it a little easier on you if you're buying a single-game ticket because of the variable pricing. But the whole weekend here, it's not cheap. And plus, you're factoring in, you know, your gas money to get here and back or however you're getting to the game. And State College isn't the easiest place to get into. I know we've talked about it before. If you're flying from out of town, there is that new flight from State College to Chicago.
Yes.
But aside from that, you know, it becomes a little difficult.
Yeah. Audrey, always a pleasure. Always appreciate your perspective very, very much. Thanks so much for your time.
You got it, Steve. Thanks.
Audrey Snyder, Patriot News. Today's show being brought to you by our good friend Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484, or you can go online to rewfinancial.com. As we continue with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915. Sunbury Motor Company has over 300 new Fords and over 100 new Hyundais that must be sold now. Get savings up to $11,000 during the January inventory liquidation event at Sunbury Motor Company. Liquidation means vehicles need to fly off the lot as quickly as possible, and Sunbury Motors will do what it takes to earn your business now. Now, see all of the great deals on new Fords and Hyundais now, because time is of the essence, and if you wait too long, the new Ford or Hyundai you've had your eyes on will be in someone else's driveway. At Sunbury Motor Company, they never pressure you into buying a vehicle you don't want or that's out of your price range. They want to make sure you're getting the best possible deal with the best possible service before, during, and after the sale. This is the time to buy that new Ford or Hyundai, and this is the place. Stop at Sunbury Motor Company now while the selection's at its best. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com.
REW Financial believes in the value of total commitment. We are a working family who strives to prove strength of character by staying independent and core focused. REW has a commitment to the community and the financial needs of our clients. Let us design your portfolio or retirement strategy. REW Financial Lewisburg, the power of freedom. Securities and advisory services offered through United Planners Financial Services. Member FINRA, SIPC. REW Financial is a DBA of REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC, and neither are affiliated with United Planners Financial Services. Services.
All right, welcome back. Great to have you with us. As we roll through this afternoon together, I'll head toward the bottom of the hour and news. I know it's been an exciting show so far for Kevin. I know we had Corey Geiger and Audrey Snyder interrupt your rant on Stephen Aubin-Ajapong playing for the West in the East-West game.
I'm done with that rant. You didn't have an explanation, so I'm let it go.
I didn't have an explanation. I said they're trying to even the teams up.
Nah, it still wasn't a good explanation of why they
didn't. Isn't the most... Okay.
Don't drag me into it again.
What is the most important part? That he plays...
That
or
he
we
plays.
Do it the Ke- that the
plays.
Kevin Herr that the Kevin Herr method of purity.
That he plays.
Yeah. Let him play.
By the way, Phyllis on Facebook said, "Did I hear Steve say that the Ireland game will be at 8:30 a.m. here?"
Yes.
I believe you did.
Yes. It's 1:30 there, it's 8:30 here. And I think it's going to be on ESPN. It's either one or two. But the game's going to be Yeah, it's going to be on ES. It's going to be, but it's 8:30 in the morning out here, and it's 1:30 there. It's a 5-hour difference.
Which means, let's see, the tailgate show will start, what, about 7 a.m.?
Yeah, but we'll be there, though. I mean, it's going to be noon, so the tailgate show will be at 7 o'clock here, yeah.
Right, I'm just...
Boy. Well, that's breakfast with Jack and Steve.
Breakfast with Steve. That's true.
Breakfast with Jack and Steve. That, in the end, that's, you know, that's what we have. Breakfast with Jack and Steve. You know, the question is whether we can get Roger up early enough to do it. So
7 a.m. That's early for me to get up, too.
I don't think they really worried about what you're
I know they're not. No, I'm thinking about it from my own point of view.
Just like everything else.
My own point of view.
Like everything else in life.
7 a.m. Breakfast with Steve and Jack.
Yeah, yes, but it's going to be, yes, 8:30 is the Eastern time kickoff. That's why, for example, you see Wimbledon. Wimbledon, the final for the women and the men is always at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
And they call it breakfast at Wimbledon.
Right.
It's actually 2 o'clock in London.
Do you know NBC got the most grief for a promo they ran probably in the mid to late 80s? It was a British voiceover guy saying, while the colonies celebrate their independence.
Yeah.
It was really a poor choice by NBC on the breakfast at Wimbledon promo that year. People didn't like being called the colonies at that point.
Sure, I'm sure that the world was upset. No?
It just reminded me of that when you were talking about breakfast at Wimbledon.
But that's what time it'll kick off. It'll be an 8:30 Eastern time kickoff. That means we're going to be on the air at 7 o'clock in the morning.
I've been having midnight snack with the Australian Open lately.
108 degrees. My friend Bill Amin is at he works the Australian Open for Tennis Channel and ESPN.
Ooh.
It was 107 yesterday when Maria Sharapova won. It's 108 today in Melbourne. 108.
And the average temperature, I think, is in the upper 70s.
Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable what they've had to deal with there. Unbelievable. Well, we don't have that issue.
No, that's what happens when you're on the other side of the world and the equator this time of year.
Brother. Not even close to that issue. Well, we're just a mere 78 degrees cooler right now. Other than that, it's no big deal. Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484. You can go online to REWfinancial.com. Great to have you with us today in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Hope to find out tomorrow morning if we get a special guest on tomorrow's show. We're looking forward to it if it happens. And I think we've got a real shot at it here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
We'll open up the phones for your questions coming up after the news.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back to the Steve Jones Show. Steve Jones Show for Thursday, sponsored by REW, Insurance and Financial Services, LLC.
It's a great chance for you to do an open line. Go ahead.
Phone lines are open right now at 800-795-9565.
I'm going to sit back and listen. Maybe I'll call.
Maybe you'll call. The beautiful thing is, because of the Sunbury Motors studio, you don't have to pick up the phone.
No, maybe I'll call. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Brady, best ever? I'm calling from Somerville. Brady, best ever?
Speaking of Brady, is there any truth to the fact that he said that they were talking about being underdogs for this championship game?
They are underdogs.
Please. I mean, they may be underdogs in Vegas. I understand that.
They are underdogs. They're playing on the road.
But do you need to really play it up that, oh, we're the underdogs? It's not like nobody expected you to be there. I mean, come on. Even I picked all four teams in the championship game this year back in August.
But, okay, let's be realistic here. You're playing on the road, okay, against the team with the best record.
You don't have Rob Gronkowski. Okay? There are a lot of things that you don't have and have had to make a lot of adjustments during the course of the year.
Okay, but don't act like, you know, nobody's giving you any respect.
But you have to listen to the answer. I mean, where do you come up with this stuff? If he sits there, he says, yeah, matter of fact, says, yeah, I know we're underdogs, but He may have said it like that, like, you know, bypassing it. You know, this is kind of, I mean, I know we're the underdog. We kind of relish it, you know, whatever. He didn't sit there and say they're not getting any respect.
No. I didn't say that. I didn't say he said that. I said, but you don't want it to sound like you're not, you know, he kind of gave me the impression that they're not getting any respect in this game. Now, maybe I took it wrong. He did return to practice today, so the illness was nothing. Just throwing that in. Other NFL news of the day, Rex Ryan has a multi-year contract extension. 8-8, and you get an extension. Okay.
Yeah, but it's all incentive-laden. The whole thing is.
Well, yeah, there's room to make a change if they need to.
I mean, but it's all incentive-laden. Everything's by, you got a contract extension, but, you know, look, you're going to get money for this, you're going to get money for this, you're going to get money for this. In other words, you're going to get money for performance. And that's how they put it together. But, yeah, Brady's back at practice. He's feeling a lot better. Spring game, by the way, just in case people are wondering, is going to be April 12th. Okay, April 12th will be the spring game. I was going to give a false date on the air and have Kevin show up a week later, but forget it.
I'll figure it out, believe it or not.
No, we've done a good job of leaving breadcrumbs over the years and having you... just go off in a different direction.
I'll figure it out eventually.
Yeah, because I'll say it enough. April 12th, though, is going to be the blue-white game. What time they picked, I think it's going to be up to James as to when they play it. Last year it was at noon. We'll see if they change that at all. But it's going to be April 12th. And then, yeah, that game in Ireland is going to be an 8:30 Eastern time kickoff. It'll be a 1:30 there.
Here's the appearance for Brady on WEEI. Here's what he had to say earlier this week. I know that when we played Baltimore, no one picked us to win, and no one's going to pick us to win this week. We've had our backs against the wall for a while, really the whole season. We've lost players and teams have really counted us out. We've got a bunch of underdogs on the team, and we'll be underdogs again. We'll see how that shakes out at the end of the week. I never considered Brady and the Patriots underdogs at all this year.
I did. I think, first of all, their division is relatively easy, okay, which is a big plus for them. I think they know darn well there's usually an excellent chance they're going to be 5-1 or 6-0 against those guys. All right? So let's start with that premise. But you got to think of it from the overall viewpoint. Who's the best defensive player that the Patriots had going into the season? Vince Wilfork. Who's the number two defensive player on that team? Gerard Mayo. Okay? After Brady, who's the number one offensive weapon? Rob Gronkowski.
I was gonna say, that would be Gronkowski, tight end. I know that.
Okay, and after Gronkowski, who would have a year ago been the number two target? Aaron Hernandez. So of their top five players on paper, they don't have four of them.
Plus they had one player play for the opposing team this week, as a matter of fact. One of the receivers.
Austin Colley or Deion Branch or who?
Well, any of those could be. I didn't even think of that. Yeah, Branch was the one I was thinking.
Oh, he had been when had been.
Yeah, he's been there for
2 years.
No, I understand that.
Had been with 2 years, but I'm saying of your top five players, two on defense and two on offense, you miss four of them. The door should have been open for the Jets or the Dolphins to overtake them. So yeah, they've been in an underdog spot all year. They barely had Gronkowski, and there was also periods of time this year where they didn't have Danny Amendola, who was expected to be the replacement for Wes Welker.
That's another one, by the way, Wes Welker not being there anymore.
Right, but Danny Amendola was then expected to come in and, and replace Welker.
But he's been injured more often than he's played.
Right. Now he's playing, and he's helping them out a lot. And another guy that's really stepped up for them is Julian Edelman, who's been a just a good, solid, reliable receiver. You remember early in the year, we had Bob Soci on, the play-by-play voice of the Patriots. I believe we had Bob on in the beginning of November, late October, right?
Right around that time, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what we were talking about, the, how Brady was still struggling, trying to find a rhythm with all the new players around him. So the Patriots are not the Patriots of what we've seen in years gone by. So when and see, you notice at the end he says, hey, we'll see how it works out. That's not a guy throwing down the poor as us gauntlet.
Well, up until that sentence, it pretty much sounds like that. We've had our backs against the wall for a while.
Excuse me. What part's inaccurate? Okay, this is the part where I think you've got to start listening to what people say. What part is inaccurate?
What about
what's inaccurate?
Where have their backs been against the wall? Injuries?
Because
okay, I'll give you that.
They haven't had anybody. They've lost Wilfork. They've lost Mayo.
But it's not like you had to win a ton of games to get to the playoffs. That's what I assume you mean by backs against the wall.
Their backs have been against the wall because they haven't had the same rhythm. Look, the game they pulled out against the Saints turned their season around. Okay, the game that they pulled out, the game against the Saints, where they were in typical Brady fashion, they won it. Like, they don't have – this is not the, you know, the Corey Dillon, Lawrence Maroney, Randy Moss kind of offense and a defense with, you know, led by Willie McGinnis and guys like that who went out and got you. You know, Ty Law at corner and things like that. It's, you know, Teddy Bruschi at middle linebacker. That's not the same team anymore. They you know, and their offensive line is all different now. No Todd Light and guys like that that anchored that line. I mean, I listened to that statement. There's not one thing in that statement that's inaccurate.
See, I agree with the we've lost players and teams have counted them out.
That's why
I get that. I'm all right with that.
And that's why they felt like their back was against the wall, because it took them a while all season until December to find their rhythm, where they finally they got Amendola back. He got used to the guys around him. You know, they've had to change how they play the game in some ways. Last week, they have become, in the last month of the season, a primarily run attack-oriented offense. That's a big change for them, because the Patriots have not been a primary run attack offense. Back, you know, when you look at the great running backs the Patriots have had, you can name them all in one hand. And the most recent one that would be a great running back for them is Corey Dillon.
But were they underdogs coming into the Baltimore game last year?
I think he was talking about the Baltimore game this year.
Okay, see, that's when I wasn't sure, because he said, no. When we played Baltimore, no one picked us to win. And I'm like, wait a minute.
That was back, early in the season. Nobody picked them to win at Baltimore.
See, I didn't take it as he was talking about that game.
I think
he was talking about the game the year before.
No.
You may be
right. Everything he talked about was in the context of this year. When they played Baltimore last year, I guess he probably didn't have Gronkowski, right? But he had Welker, he had Hernandez. You know, they had Will Fork, they had Mayo. I mean, you know, the Patriots were playing at home, and they should have won the game, and they didn't. When they played at Baltimore this year, no. The Patriots were considered an underdog going into that game.
And like him or not like him, Bill Belichick figures out a way to slow down very talented teams and talented quarterbacks like Peyton Manning.
Yeah, well, but he's had the weapons. Again, you got to be guess what the biggest component is to a coach being highly successful?
Adapting.
The number one thing a coach has to have in order to be successful. What is it?
No, adapting to what you have. Adapting to what you have to work with. And the reason I say that is you look
talent.
At last week's game.
Talent.
Yeah, but look at last week's game. Last week's game was not a New England Patriots game that you would expect to see. I mean, if you would have heard that without seeing any of the game and heard that they ran the ball that many times, you would have thought everybody was crazy. You know, that many points and how many of them were rushing touchdowns? No, that's not right.
Right. I mean, they've done a good job over the years of being flexible with how they get the most out of their people. Now, they, number one, they have a great quarterback. They don't have a good quarterback, whatever. They have a legitimately great quarterback. Leads guys in the yards after the catch. He's probably the hardest worker on the team. He watches more film than anybody else. He is. The Patriots, when he talks about, hey, look, you know, we're underdogs. Yeah, they're underdogs. They don't have Mayo. They don't have Wilfork. They don't have Gronkowski. We know Hernandez is a lost cause from the summer.
I don't know. I took it like, you know, we barely made it into the playoffs. We've been our backs against the wall for a while. No, you didn't. You didn't barely make it into the playoffs. You were the right where you were, where everybody expected you to be. I mean, are you an underdog? Maybe you're an underdog in my mind by just the fact that it's in Denver.
Did you recognize the wide receiver core of the Patriots most of the year?
No. Honestly, no.
Exactly.
No.
They have some good young players. I mean, Tlaib has been good. McCourty's older now and a little more dependable. Hightower's becoming a good player. Chandler Jones is a very good player. Are they underdogs playing at Denver? Yes.
Only because only it's at Denver, I think.
Yeah, but there's another element added to this. It's going to be 58 degrees on Sunday in Denver.
That's a heat wave.
But for Peyton Manning, that's more comfortable.
Well, that, I was going to say, he plays. You think he plays better in warmer conditions, and the stats do prove that true.
He does play better in warmer conditions. He just does. And I think that, you know, now, it's not like the Broncos don't have some guys that are out. For example, Von Miller is out. Champ Bailey has not been available to them a vast majority of the season. So it's not like they don't have that issue. Both teams have excellent place kickers. And if you get the ball to the 40-yard line, not the 30, but if you get the ball to the 40-yard line, each team has a shot at points because of the altitude.
Of the two games, the AFC and NFC games, if you were able to go to one game, which one would you pick and why?
Which game would I go to and why?
Yeah. Which of the two games would you go to and why? Would you go to the NFC Championship game or the AFC Championship game?
Well, they each bring with it something because sure. when you're talking about a chance to see a game in Seattle in that atmosphere.
But these games, I think, both of these games, I think, are going to be equally entertaining to watch.
Right.
I mean, if it were me, I think I'd have to go. I would want to see Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. And I know everybody's saying that, and I know that's an easy thing to say, but I want to see those two offenses under the direction of those guys go against each other and see who can win. Because I don't think that's going to happen maybe as often as the NFC Championship game could. Because those guys are going to be in the NFL a little bit longer.
Yeah, they are. Although, of the four quarterbacks right now...
I know, Wilson, though.
But he's the weakest. He's playing the weakest of the four. He is struggling at the moment. When you watch him play, he is struggling right now in the pocket. In the last 6 weeks, whatever's happened to him, his pocket awareness and his pocket presence has not been the same as it was the first year and a half. Watch him. He's been a little unsteady in there. What's helped him are a couple things. Number one, his ability to move has helped him. Number two, he's really surrounded by a good team, especially on defense. And that's helped him, and that's helped. Seattle's been winning games, but they've been, you know, doing enough to win games. San Francisco's been playing better of late. Kaepernick's found a nice groove. Gore's in a really nice groove at running back. And then getting Crabtree back was huge for them. I mean, getting Crabtree back was huge, without a doubt. And when you sit there and you...
What was he, 15 times did they target him the other day?
It
was some astronomical number.
I don't know.
By the way, I look back. You and I were talking about this after the show the other day. And I look back and I found from August our picks for the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And I have the Seahawks and the Broncos, and you have the Broncos and the 49ers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought that was pretty darn good.
And I think that's
from both of us. That's pretty entertaining.
Yeah, because either way, I think I'm going to Super Bowl Media Day. Either way,
good.
Because no matter what, there's guaranteed a Penn State player in the game.
That's true.
Yeah. It's a
lot. That's very true.
Well, it's a lot because Navarro Bowman's either going to make it for the 49ers or Michael Robinson and Jordan Hill are going to make it from the Seahawks. Okay, plus there are a couple others that are on the practice squad. All right, so either way, there are going to be some Penn State players there, and it looks like I'm probably going to go to Super Bowl Media Day. Whether we can do the show or not from that spot, I'm going to find out. I'm sure I'll be able to find something. How about that? That's one thing with 4G. We have great options.
That's right.
Yeah, great. I mean, I may sit in the stands and do it. I don't know. But
just bring me back a program.
What?
Just bring me back a program.
You do know I'm going to work, right? This is not. I'm not going to Fan Fest.
Oh, like you're not going to spend. You're going to spend the whole time. Every second while you're there is going to be work oriented.
Yeah, because I'm doing it all in one day. I've got to be in Columbus the next day for basketball.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize you had to be in Columbus.
Yeah, I have to go. I would have to go there on that Tuesday, take care of business, take care of the show, boom, and get in the car, probably come back here, stay the night, and then drive to Columbus the next morning. So I'm not going there for the giggles of it. I mean, we can't all do things in life like you do. You'd be going for FanFest. You'd be trying to throw footballs through the clown's mouth.
You're darn right.
I see no appeal in that. See, no, I don't get the appeal. What's the appeal?
I don't know. I wish I could explain it to you that you'd understand, and you won't. It's like, you know, you laugh at the fact that I collect things from the Super Bowl. I think this is a very intriguing Super Bowl. I love the fact that it's outside, by the way. I love the fact that the weather's going to be an element. Mm-hmm. And I think most fans think that that's going to be a neat little thing to have happen. It'll never happen again, but I think it's a really good idea.
I remember, I'll tell the story when we come back about Super Bowl 16 in Pontiac.
Okay.
Okay, quick story on that. We'll come back in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel, REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call, 800-609-9484. Or go online to rewfinancial.com on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Oh, darn. It was story time with Steve, and I missed my opportunity.
That's all right.
Go ahead.
See what Jason posted?
No, I didn't.
He says, our two-month-old daughter cries all the time, but when I tune in the SJS show, Hannah hears our voices, and she stops crying. Well, hello, Hannah. Great to have you in our world. Super Bowl 16. It was played at Pontiac. It was the first 49er win in the Super Bowl. They held off Cincinnati that day. And it was George H.W. Bush had become the vice president, elected with Ronald Reagan. So he goes to the Super Bowl, and he invites Joe to go with him. Well, it's a driving snowstorm, and all these buses with all of this Secret Service entourage protecting it is stopping and snarling all the traffic all around the Silver Dome. And Joe looks at the vice president and says, I don't think you're helping yourself. Some people have the ability to talk to the vice president as if they're just one of the guys.